Well, good morning. Happy Mother's Day to all the ladies for sure. As was said, whether you're a physical mother or a spiritual mother, we do appreciate you. And we don't say it enough. And so we thank you for all the things that you do that go unseen. A lot of sacrifice, a lot of love, a lot of tears, a lot of worries, I'm sure, that go on that we don't even think of. And so God sees them. He knows, and may you know his blessing as you strive to bless those around you. And so I thank you for that. We are in 1 Samuel this morning. 1 Samuel, if you want to use one of the pew Bibles around you, if you don't have scriptures with you, it's 225 in the Bible. We're looking at a pretty big section of text this morning. So you'll want it to have it handy to follow along for sure. 1 Samuel will begin at chapter 1, and we'll actually go all the way through chapter 2, verse 11. But as we turn there, let me pray, and we'll ask the Lord's blessing this morning. Father, Lord, we thank you for the time to gather. Lord, you know we need rest. And Lord, you call us to that rest, not only physically, but spiritually, to be reminded of the blessings that we have in through the Lord Jesus Christ. Lord, we pray that your Spirit would fill our hearts and our minds this morning to bring that renewal, maybe even for the first time for someone here today or watching online, that would be awakened to the rest for their souls that are found in Christ. Lord, we thank you for the ladies of the congregation and around the world. We thank you for faithful women that love you, that love their children, that love their neighbors around them. Ladies that will pray, that will serve, that will lead, that are strong in their faith for you. For they found their hope in none other than the sovereign Lord. And so, Lord, as we look into this text this morning, into the life of Hannah, that we'd all gain some insight through this individual that you've given to us to look at, to examine as you work your plan of redemption through her life. And so, Lord, we thank you. Lord, we pray for those who grieve today. This is another reminder that they're missing their mom. And Lord, that you would touch them in a special way. That you would fill the ache in our hearts, whether it's the first year of not being with their mom or a few years removed. Lord, we thank you for the living hope that we have in Christ, that eternity's coming, and a great renewal, a great reunion will take place. And so, Lord, we pray that you speak to each heart and mind. You know each one has different struggles, trials, temptations that they are dealing with. And Lord, remind them of who you are. Remind them of your power. Remind them of your mercy and your wisdom. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. The text we'll read through this morning is a little long, and we'll actually attack it in three parts. The message today is a general overview of the life of Hannah. And the length of the text we'll cover could easily be made into 5 to 8 sermons. But my intention for you this morning is to have you to become familiar with Hannah, maybe for the first time, or maybe you haven't read about Hannah for a while, to remind you of her relationship with her God, and to see what faith lessons we can glean from her, especially on this Mother's Day. In a time in which our culture doesn't know what a woman is anymore, in a time where our culture wants women to have the choice to kill children within their wombs, seeing them as a burden rather than a glorious blessing, in a time when just much confusion and wickedness, we need the grace of God, we need the wisdom of God to awaken us to the beautiful and glorious designs he's given to women, their uniqueness, their beauty, their giftedness, their spiritual strength, and their ability to give birth to mankind. We live in a time of much religious wickedness, much political wickedness, social, cultural, sexual wickedness. Very similar to the time of Hannah. She was living in the midst of much garbage as we are today. The nation of Israel was in a similar downfall. For those who are familiar with their history, the events that we'll read about occurred around 1050 BC, right after the time of Judges. And if you know anything about Judges, the people weren't following the ways of God's design, but were doing what was right in their own eyes. So it's in the midst of this atmosphere that we see Hannah. She signs as a picture of God's grace, one who experienced his blessing in the midst of much corruption. Hannah had a real and vital relationship with her God, knowing her sins were forgiven, knowing that she was called to a life of grace, faith, and holiness, and humility. And we'll see these things play out in our text this morning. So as we read through this morning, pay attention to her faith and how she responds to hard circumstances in her life. And as you see in your sermon notes, we're asking the question, what are some of the experiences, what are some of the desires and reactions of one who has experienced the grace of God? Hannah, whose name means grace or favor, how did she live out that faith in the midst of such corruption? Let's begin. We'll begin at 1 Samuel. We'll look at verses 1 through 20. There was a certain man of Ramathaim Zophim of the hill country of Ephraim, whose name was Elkanah, the son of Jeroham, son of Elihu, son of Tohu, son of Zuph, an Ephrathite. He had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah, the name of the other, Peninnah. Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. Now this man used to go up year by year from his city to worship, to sacrifice to the Lord of hosts at Shiloh, where the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were priests of the Lord. On a day when Elkanah sacrificed, he would give portions to Peninnah, his wife, and to all her sons and daughters. But to Hannah he gave a double portion, because he loved her, though the Lord had closed her womb. And her rival used to provoke her grievously, to irritate her, because the Lord had closed her womb. So it went on year by year. As often as she went up to the house of the Lord, she used to provoke her. Therefore Hannah wept and would not eat. And Elkanah, her husband, said to her, "Hannah, why do you weep? Why do you not eat? Why is your heart sad? Am I not more to you than 10 sons? After they had eaten and drunk in Shiloh, Hannah rose. Now Eli the priest was sitting on the seat beside the doorpost of the temple of the Lord. She was deeply distressed and prayed to the Lord and wept bitterly. And she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if you will indeed look on the affliction of your servant and remember me and not forget your servant, but will give to your servant a son, I will give him to the Lord all the days of his life. No razor shall touch his head." As she continued praying before the Lord, Eli observed her mouth. Hannah was speaking in her heart, only her lips moved and her voice was not heard. Therefore Eli took her to be a drunken woman. Eli said to her, "How long will you go on being drunk? Put away your wine from you." But Hannah answered, "No, my Lord, I'm a woman troubled in spirit. I've drunk neither wine nor strong drink. I've been pouring out my soul before the Lord. Do not regard your servant as a worthless woman, for all along I have been speaking out of my great anxiety and vexation." Then Eli answered, "Go in peace, and the God of Israel grant your petition that you have made to him." And she said, "Let your servant find favor in your eyes." Then the woman went her way and ate, and her face was no longer sad. They rose early in the morning and worshiped before the Lord. Then they went back to their house in Ramah. And Elkanah knew Hannah his wife, and the Lord remembered her, And in due time, Hannah conceived and bore a son. She called his name Samuel, for she said, I have asked for him from the Lord. Again, we're asking, what are some of the experiences and desires and reactions of one who has experienced the grace of God? And we begin with our first lesson, that Hannah experienced and shared God's grace amidst a troubled life. Hannah was married to a loving husband. It seems he married again because she was not able to have children. It was deemed vitally important in that culture to have children so that there would be an heir to the family, one to carry on the family name, one who would take the inheritance. God never sanctioned anyone to have multiple wives, but we see it over and over in the Old Testament. We see Abraham and Jacob and David and Solomon. And when you look at those kinds of family setups, all you have is pain, heartache, rivalry, jealousy, anger, and strife. It's a reminder that anytime we go outside of God's design of love, especially in the terms of marriage, of one man and one woman, and you go outside of that, all you experience is the opposite of blessings. Though Hannah had a real and gracious relationship with God, her life was tough. The man she loved took a second wife, though he claimed to love her most. The other wife was not sympathetic at all towards Hannah. She would mock her, she would ridicule her for not being able to conceive, especially when they would go to worship. They go to the tabernacle. Hannah experienced grief year after year, irritation, moments of not desiring to eat, all kinds of weeping. All the while, her husband would try to console her. So we're reminded that following Jesus, following God, will not make all your problems disappear. Following Jesus and following God will not make all your problems disappear. If you think that you have that kind of expectation, you have misunderstood the scriptures and what Jesus clearly talks about when it means to be his disciple. Jesus says, in this world you will have tribulation, but take heart, I have overcome the world. When you come to faith in Christ, you are certainly blessed. You are forgiven. You have a living hope. There is an eternal joy. But not all your problems will disappear, especially in relationships with people. When you come to faith in Christ, you are actually more heightened to the fallenness within yourself and the fallenness around you. That's when we have to learn to respond as God would want us to respond. We have to learn to respond as God would want us to respond. Though the sinful actions of her husband, through all the sinful actions of her husband and his second wife, we never see Hannah respond or react in a negative or sinful way. For sure, she lamented, but she never attacked. She never returned evil for evil. As Paul would say in 1 Thessalonians 5:15, see that no one repays anyone evil for evil. Always seek to do good to one another and to everyone. And as he would say in Colossians 3, verse 8 and 9, you must put them all away. Put away the anger. Put away the wrath. Put away the malice, the slander, the obscene talk. Do not lie. Put off the old self and put on the new. In our relationships at home, in the workplace, with our children, with our spouses, with our extended family members, we need to respond as God would want us to respond, as we see with Hannah. And what else do we see? She's a lady of passionate prayer. Hannah was troubled. She had great anxiety, great vexation. She was distressed, and she would weep bitterly as she prayed. She would take all these things and place them onto her sovereign Lord. She took them to her God who could change things if he so willed. She trusted his power. She trusted his wisdom. Trusted his goodness to do what is best. She wanted a son. And so she asked. She asked for that son, not just for herself, but specifically so that he would get the glory. She prayed and she left it in God's hands. As Peter would say to the Christians who were suffering in 1 Peter, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God that he may exalt you in due time. Cast your cares upon him. He cares for you. After she prayed, our text says her face was no longer sad. You see, she moves forward in trust with her God. She moves forward in her trust with her God. Not knowing what would be next, not knowing what would happen after she prayed, she moved forward. And God didn't have to, but he was gracious. She conceived a child and named him Samuel, for the Lord heard her. Samuel would be the last of the judges and the first in the line of the prophets in terms of our redemption. He's a transition in Israel. So we're reminded, following Jesus won't remove all your problems, but we can lean into Christ. We need to learn to have godly responses in the midst of hard circumstances. We need to be people of passionate prayer and learn to move forward as we trust him for the next day. We continue on in verse 21, if you have your scriptures. The man Elkanah and all his house went up to offer to the Lord the yearly sacrifice and to pay his vow. But Hannah did not go up. For she said to her husband, as soon as the child is weaned, I'll bring him, that he may appear in the presence of the Lord and dwell there forever. Elkanah, her husband, said to her, do what seems best to you. Wait until you have weaned him. Only may the Lord establish his word. So the woman remained and nursed her son until she weaned him. And when she had weaned him, she took him up with her, along with a three-year-old bull, an ephah of flour, a skin of wine. She brought him to the house of the Lord at Shiloh, and the child was young. Then they slaughtered the bull, and they brought the child to Eli, and she said, O my Lord, as you live, my Lord, I am the woman who was standing here in your presence praying to the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord has granted me my petition that I made to him. Therefore I have lent him to the Lord as long as he lives. He is lent to the Lord, and he worshipped the Lord there. We see, second, that Hannah's utmost desire for her son was that he would experience and share the grace of God. Hannah finally had a son. After many years of tears, after many years of waiting, she had a boy. It had to be a time of great excitement and joy for sure. Perhaps a humbling moment for Peninnah. Hannah would hold him. She would nurse him, sing to him, change those diapers, teach him to walk, hold his hands, teach him the things of the Lord, tell him of the glorious things of her God, and then wean him around perhaps 3 years old so that he would know and experience the grace of God. She would hand him over to the service of the tabernacle. In her petition for a son, in her prayer, she made a vow, God, if you would give me the son, I will give him over to you to serve your people at the tabernacle. Would she keep that vow? She waited a long time for a kid. She waited a long time for this boy. In the midst of her grief, she made this vow. Would she keep it? This child she waited for a long time. To make a vow to God is no light thing. God takes our vows seriously, whether membership vows or marriage vows or any vows that we make. She would keep her vow. Hannah loved her son, but she loved her Lord the most. should be faithful to her vow. And the lesson for us is we must love our children well, but we must love the Lord the most. We must love our children well, but we must love the Lord the most. Your children, your grandchildren, everyone around you needs to see that the Lord is first in your life. He needs to be the greatest joy in your life, that His mercies and His blessings are so kind and so gracious that nothing in all of life is more important than the Lord. Not your spouse, not your children, not your work, not your hobbies. It must be the Lord. As Hannah takes Samuel to the tabernacle, she takes a bull and other things to offer them to be sacrificed to the Lord. Things that pointed to our sinfulness and the need of another to die in our place in order to be in a right relationship with God. Pictures of Jesus that she wanted Samuel to know, to experience, and to share with others. It's good to teach our kids how to tie their shoes. It's more important to teach them and show them the importance of Jesus and their great need of Jesus. It's good to teach our kids sports. I love sports. Can't play them like I used to. But it's more important to teach them, to show them the importance of Jesus and their need of Jesus and His church. It's good to teach them all kinds of things, whether it's technology and how to work. But it's more important to teach them the importance and the need of Christ. Love your children well. Show them all the beautiful blessings that God has for them on this earth. But point them to the greatest need in their life, to the Lord Jesus. They need to see that they need Jesus' life and death on their behalf. They need to see that life flows from Jesus, through Jesus, and for Jesus. Hannah's utmost desire was for her son to experience and share the grace of God. So she handed him to the care of Eli at the tabernacle in Shiloh. But Hannah would see him often. Because you'd wonder, like, is that the last time she ever sees him? And so in 1 Samuel 2, verse 19 to 20, it says, his mother used to make for him a little robe, take it to him each year. And she went up with her husband to offer yearly sacrifice. And then later on, Hannah would actually have more children. She would have 3 sons and 2 daughters. And Samuel grew up in the presence of the Lord. Hannah was faithful to keep her vow to God, knowing that God was gracious and faithful to her. And I love these words from Richard Phillips. We can often trace the faithful that we can often trace the faith of remarkable children to their remarkable mothers. We can often trace the faith of remarkable children to their remarkable mothers. We see it in Hannah. And we see it in the results of many of you today. And may the Lord continue to bless your prayers. You keep praying for your children. You keep sharing them about Christ. You keep giving them that example how important the church and worship. May the Lord bless your energies and efforts. And lastly, let's look at her worship. 1 Samuel chapter 2, verse 1. Hannah prayed and said, my heart exalts in the Lord. My strength is exalted in the Lord. My mouth derides my enemies because I rejoice in your salvation. There's none holy like the Lord. There's none beside you. There is no rock like our God. Talk no more so very proudly. Let not arrogance come from your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are broken, but the feeble bind on strength. Those who are full have hired themselves out of bread, but those who are hungry have ceased to hunger. The barren has borne 7, but she who has many children is forlorn. The Lord kills and brings to life. He brings down to Sheol and raises up. The Lord makes poor and makes rich. He brings low and exalts. He raises up the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with princes and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and on them he has set the world. He will guard the feet of his faithful ones, but the wicked shall be cut off in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. The adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed. Then Elkanah went home to Ramah, and the boy ministered to the Lord in the presence of Eli, the priest. And our last point is, in a troubled world of wickedness, Hannah's heart was captivated and strengthened by her holy and sovereign Lord. Hannah's prayer is a prayer of adoration. It's loaded with all kinds of great theological truths. And later in the New Testament, when you look at the Song of Mary, she uses much of the same language as she praises her God. Hopefully you noted some of the theology in her worship as she exalts and trusted in God. She's captivated in awe in him. She renews her strength day by day in the Lord, not within herself, but in the Lord. To sum up some of the theology, she doesn't fear her enemies because she's sure of her salvation. She reminds us there's no one holy like the Lord. There's no one who comes a close second. There's no solid foundation or security except in the Lord and his mercies. He's the God of justice, and he will bring down the proud and rebellious. The Lord blesses the humble and dependent, meek. The Lord gives life. The Lord takes life, and he will guard the feet of his faithful ones. And the wicked he will bring to ruin. Hannah renews her strength day by day in the sovereign Lord, not within herself. As mothers, as fathers, it's exhausting work. And we cannot do it on our own strength, but in the strength of the Lord. She was captivated in awe of him. No matter the moments of lament, no matter the times of tears, she would always turn to and cry unto and be renewed in the Lord. Richard Phillips reminds us, what was the source of her humble steadfastness under a great trial? What caused her to praise God with such beauty and power? Hannah was absorbed with her Lord. Her heart was filled with the knowledge of God. Her faith was anchored on the glorious perfections of his character and his attributes. She was captivated and in awe of her God. And lastly, she was looking forward to her messianic king. In verse 10 of chapter 2, the adversaries of the Lord shall be broken to pieces. Against them he will thunder in heaven. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth. He will give strength to his king and exalt the power of his anointed. There was no king yet in this land, but she's speaking of a king. There's no king in the land yet, but she's speaking of an anointed king. The Messiah. 1,000 years prior to the coming of Christ, she is looking forward to Jesus, the one that was promised to Adam and Eve, the one who would crush the evil one, the one who brought temptation and sin into this world and into our relationships. She looked forward to the day that her King Jesus would come to atone for her sins and to promise to make all things right. That's what she looked forward to. That's what you must look to. That's who you must look to daily and in the future. The return of our Savior, our King. You must trust him now for forgiveness of sins and life eternal. What are some of the desires? What are some of the reactions of someone who's experienced the grace of God? To sum up, following Jesus will not make all your problems disappear, but it will make you lean into Christ more. You have to learn to respond well in relationships, respond well as God would want you to respond. Hannah was a lady of passionate prayer, and then she would move forward and trust her God. We must love our children well, but we must love our children most. We must be faithful to our vows, knowing God is faithful to us. In a troubled world, our hearts need to be captivated and strengthened by the holy and sovereign Lord who shows us grace. We must look forward to the return of the Messianic King, the Lord Jesus. Hannah is a picture of love and grace. A picture of what love and grace looks like in a world of much trouble, much confusion, much wickedness. May you know that grace, and may you share that grace in all your relationships. Let's pray. Father, Lord, we thank you for a time to just to do a general overview of the life of Hannah. There are many details and many nuggets to glean on and to chew on and to feed on. And Lord, we pray that you would speak to each heart and mind here, that you would reassure us of the blessings that are ours in Christ Jesus. Lord, we thank you for your mercies. Lord, we thank you that you walk with us through the darkest of valleys, that you have a promise, a restoration, and a glory to come for those who are in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that each heart and mind would be awakened to those realities as Hannah discovered, that we would look forward not only to being with Jesus each day, but for his return. We ask this in his name. Amen.